Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot blast. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb jazz. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't miss. Hit break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the crisis!
Despite all that stuff I said about last night, Davey, Deftones were unbelievably great.
Deftones? Yeah, I've never seen them, but I've heard they're a great live band.
So despite all what stuff? What happened?
Oh, it's a whole thing. I have to tell it on Bonfire. It's
lead singer of
actually,
the...
Actually, we almost have to keep it out of thing, or Josh Adam Myers is going to kill himself.
What happened? Please tell us. It's the Friday Night Hang. It's exclusive. It's okay.
I know. I told
all of us before the show started.
It's just what it was basically is I bought four tickets. Long story short, I bought four tickets. Josh says he's really good friends with the lead singer of Mars Volta, and he was supposed to get us four tickets and four passes for the floor seats,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pit.
Yeah.
And then I just bought four tickets because I wasn't sure that Josh was going to come through on that.
Because I don't trust Josh.
Well, it was more just like I also had an extra person coming, so I was like, let me just get four tickets.
Just
Josh gets four tickets, we'll have more people can go. Great. But then he was like, well, it's just going to be him plus one. Now Josh plus one. So the plus one in the
film. Lake has got to come. Lake dog's got to get backstage.
I was like, Fenoya's got to Fenoya wants to come. If that's a person, he's like, all right. He's like, we'll do that. So when we got there, Fenoya and him went in to go get Josh's tickets from Will Call. And me, Bobby, Isabel, and Christine just went in. And then, you know, we were in a little bit behind them and stuff. And then eventually I'm looking for them and I just see Josh down on the concession area for the floor seating.
Yeah.
And I see him and he's like, can you believe this? He's like, he didn't give me floor seats. He gave me seats. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I just went and bought a floor ticket on online right now. And I was like, wait, well, where's Mike? Where's Fenoya? He's like, he's up in the seats. And I was like, what? He was like, he said he just bought a house and he doesn't have like $300 to spend on a ticket right now. So like an extra ticket. So he said, he'll just stay there. And I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, he goes, I gotta go watch. He thinks that the lead singer of the band's gonna know if he's not in Madison Square Garden watching him of the Mars Volta.
I gotta go make eye contact with the lead singer of Mars Volta.
You know what's funny? Here's the thing, and I've done this for people before too. Josh has like a belief of like being good friends with somebody when what it actually is he has contact with somebody and doesn't realize when he texts them all the time, they're saying things like, oh my God, dude, I got you the tickets. Like, please leave me alone. You know what I mean? But not just that. So he goes, and then Josh just goes, I go, so wait, Mike's up there. He's like, yeah, I got to go watch them. And he runs in to go watch Mars Volta.
My legs are shorter than most. It's going to take me a while to get there.
Everything I tried to figure out, including going and looking at, I bought a ticket for the floor to just give it to Mikey and then realized I bought it for tonight in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
So that's a waste of money. I'm trying to resell that. Christine.
I'm going to Philly tonight. What time does the show start?
That's really funny, actually.
They go on at 9:15.
If Lewis ends up right on the floor.
Oh, doggy, these floor seats are unbelievable.
They're pretty crazy.
I thought about just offering it to Butterly. I'm like, go, just get stoned and go. It's so
he's
good.
In Canada this weekend.
It doesn't matter. I think hopefully we'll sell it and whatever. If I got to eat it, I eat it. But then it was like trying to figure out for Mikey. Then we went to guest services. All this is Josh is going and watching the concert.
Here's what's fascinating about all of it to me, right? Is that you can, all right, if you're going to, whatever happened, whether he was lying or whether he was told he's going to get all these floor seats, man, that's going to really suck if there's a group of five of you and then he finds out, oh, I only have meat plus one. And now a bunch of people can't come to the concert. Luckily for him, Jay preempted this by going and buying other tickets, so it's not that big of a deal. When you find out you just have floor or you just have regular seats, no big deal. Everybody's still in the concert, everyone. But you can't just buy yourself a floor seat ticket then and leave the dude who you brought to go sit by himself up there. They're like, you obviously have to watch the show with him. It's just such a crazy move.
So then Fenoya I'm trying to figure out with him. We're going to guest services. We're going to think. And the only other option now for him is like to go to the ticket booth. I was like, go buy a ticket at the ticket booth for the floor. Blah, blah, blah. So when he leaves the ticket, he leaves to go to the ticket. There are no general admission floor. And now you're out. Now you're at a concert. It was fine. He wasn't going to sit there by himself anyway. So it's fine.
When he left and couldn't get back in, he had to just go home.
But we kind of knew when he left to go get the ticket that that was going to kind of be
Jesus. That's the worst case scenario.
So much worse. That's so much worse than just not going to a concert.
Yep.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. I would describe that as brutal. That is brutal. Not as brutal as taking a train home from Canada by yourself after you couldn't get into open for David.
But on a one to having to take a train back from Canada brutality scale, it's a six.
It's a six on the brutal scale. So when you're like, you go from, I'm about to watch a bit. I mean, I don't know how big of a Deftones fan Fenoy is. I think he was probably just coming for the hang more.
He's listened to their music through the years through me, live with me. You know what I mean? So he got into them a little bit.
Yeah, but.
And it was more like, yes, exactly. He goes, I'm going to go. And Jay's going to be like, you know, these are the songs, you know, these are the, blah, blah, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be whatever. He was coming to hang. Yes.
Yes. But even if you don't, by the time, at least for me, I'd say, by the time, if you're going to a concert or a movie or a sporting event, at least for me, by the time I'm there and I'm going to see it live, I'm always trying to be in the mentality of like, all right, this is going to be great. Let's go love. You know, like even if it's not your, once you decided you're going, you're like, all right, let's try to get into this and enjoy it. And so like once you're there, you're like, all right, we're doing it. And then.
Absolutely. So Mike leaves.
That sucks. And then 15 minutes later, you're at the ticket desk as they're telling you there are no tickets. Jesus, that sucks.
So good for Deftones, I guess.
You know, it's funny. You asked me to go to this, and I think I said I was in Philly this weekend and I couldn't go, but I wasn't in Philly on Thursday. I could have easily gone to this last night.
Oh, dude, that could have been you going home 10 minutes.
You could have gotten the fucking Shaftola. So Mike leaves. So Fenoy leaves and whatever. And then we don't see Josh, you know, when Mars Volta is over. I said, he's going to find us after Mars Volta. I didn't see Mars Volta at all, which is fine. I don't give a shit. But like,
they're a good band. They're a good live band specifically.
I know. I saw them with you.
Oh, where did we see them?
Opening for System of a Down years ago.
I think I saw them with Weezer as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played their only the new album. So whatever. It doesn't even matter. Then when Josh comes, sees it, he's like, hey, first of all, he says that he couldn't enjoy the concert. But after I like dressed him down, he fucking said he couldn't enjoy the concert. but by the way, I was like, but he said he couldn't. He said he didn't enjoy. But when he came over, he definitely watched and enjoyed Mars Volta and didn't give a shit. And when it was over,
that concert sucked.
But when he came over, I said I felt bad because like it was like Christine, Isabella, and Bobby there. But I mean, I was like, and it wasn't even like a yelling. I didn't even yell or nothing like that sort of a thing. It was more just like, I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? But I said the line I kept hanging on to, I was like, buddy, you oversold and way underperformed, dude. I go, it's crazy. I go, this thing started with you being upset that I bought tickets because you were going to get us backstage. And but I told you, I don't need backstage and on that shit. Four of those. Then it went down to, you were just barely able to get two and it's going to be there. And then it's not even that. I go, what? I'm like, dude, you fucked up big tonight, man. It was a real whiff.
And, well, what do you think it is? Do you think he was told he was going to get the hookup and then didn't?
No.
Or do you think he was never told?
I think he told the guy. I think the guy said, I got you. You know, Josh was like, I want to come see the show, blah, blah. And the guy was probably like, I got you.
And then he was like, we're such good friends that I gotcha means unlimited floor seats and backstage access.
Also, I mean, again, somebody telling you, like, he goes, I told him that you don't believe we're best, or not we're best. He goes, he told me you don't believe we're friends or that I know you. And I'm like, no, I didn't say I don't believe it. I don't care. It's Mars Volta. It's not like, I was like, almost want to tell him, like, dude, you toured with Jelly Roll, and whatever you're like, whether you like Jelly Roll or not musically, that's a way much bigger deal than saying, you know, the fucking, who cares?
It's also like, to be honest with you, and I'm just not, I'm a man. I don't need to go meet other men backstage.
This is one of my areas where I'm going to agree with Lewis's views on what it is to be an adult man. I've never, ever, it doesn't matter if it's the fucking Pope, I'm never going to be impressed that you know someone else.
Well, if it's or you're pope, friends kind of with them. If you'd be impressed as a Jew, you're like, well, the Pope.
No, no, but I'm just saying, like, no matter who it could be, the most A-list celebrity, you being like, I know this person, isn't like making me go like, wow.
No, but you Louis, you're saying, so you're saying a different thing.
Louis is saying going backstage doesn't matter.
He's gonna go be another man. But that's you've said things like that before about like being fans of dudes, but you are fans of guys.
No. But I'm saying just simply meeting, and this is no. Yes, obviously I'm being somewhat funny when I say like, oh, don't wear a fucking jersey with a guy's name. It's like, no, who gives a shit? I don't actually look down on people that do that. I'm just fucking around. No. But what I really mean is, going backstage to be like a fucking chick with my tits in my hands to meet a rock star.
I agree with what you're saying there completely. That's what I said. When Josh said the initial thing was, I'm going to get us 4 floor seats, 4 backstage passes. I said from the get-go, I go, for me, don't worry about a backstage pass, dude. He's like, why? I go, and it's just like you said, I don't believe Josh is like in some fucking, like, they can't wait to hang out with him, Mars Volta. So it's, we're going to be going, I don't care about that. And I go, and the Deftones, I do not know. So I'm just going to be a dude back there.
Yeah, it's
and that's
it's,
why I don't want to do it.
When I was a kid, don't get me wrong, like we, you know, me and my buddy Dave Green, we snuck backstage at Ozfest, right? And we got invited onto the bus by John Del Mayan from System of a Down. And as a 16-year-old boy, it was like my fantasy. It was like in Wayne's World where they get down on their knees when they meet Alice Cooper and they're like, we're not worthy. We're not, like, that's what I was like as a child. But Josh Adam Myers being like, we're not worthy. Mars Volta, the new way. You're 50. Chill.
But, well, I would only, this is, by the way, purely like my own, maybe like insecurity or narcissism or whatever. But I, at 42 years old, the only way going backstage at any event would be appealing to me is if you were like, oh, the guy wants to meet you.
And there's a party, there's alcohol, like, there's chicks.
No, like, but even I mean, that, I know you're married, that, but I wouldn't want to. No, dude, that does nothing for me. I wouldn't want to go party at someone else's thing. Like, I don't like that. Makes me uncomfortable. Like, I don't like that.
No, me
but
too.
If there was like, if there was someone like, oh, the so-and-so, he's a huge Legion of Skanks fan, or he's a huge part of Prom, he wants to meet you, I'd be like, oh, sure, I'd like to meet him if he wanted to. But to just be a guy who it's like, hey, I sure am excited to meet you, and they're like, oh, okay, no, right. Stranger. Like, that just, exactly. Oh, God, that makes me uncomfortable.
Exactly. If you're, if you said, if you're meeting them through somebody is one thing, too. If somebody is friends with them, and I was sure. Like, when I said when I brought you guys back to meet the guys from Korn, even, it's like, that's not cool. Because I'm like, I know them now. So I'm going like, and these are my guys, my buddies who are like comics also and stuff.
And
so
still, like, I did that just for you, Jay.
I know you didn't give a shit about Korn. Hey, Fieldy, nice to meet you.
Easy one, it wasn't nice. But no, I'm saying more like, look, there are situations. Like I said before, like Shane's level of fame, when he goes, they're like, oh, and you have backstage passes for like whatever Childish Gambino or something that you went to go see in Philly. It doesn't matter if they haven't met yet. When they meet each other, it's two celebrities meeting each other who both know who each other are.
Sure. That makes sense.
So there's something to that also that I understand too. And I said, if they want to meet you, but like, just like you have a backstage pass and you can go, you have to meet at this part of the place after the show, and then they bring you all backstage, and then there's like a room where you're it's like all these things where you're just like, dude, I don't want to do any of that.
Oh, so I brought James to Siegfried and Roy, fucking Penn and Teller. And Dr. Drew got us backstage passes, and there was a meet and greet, but then there was also what we were, which was literally me, James, Penn and Teller, and another magician in the green room after the show while, you know, Teller was fucking talking like a normal dude and like getting in, and it was like he literally changed like out of his like
talk.
He can talk, dude. It was wild.
What?
But that was also, to be honest with you, that would have been cool by myself even, because I actually am a really big Penn and Teller fan. Just like that, it was like a conversation about the entertainment industry, and like it was actually hanging out with them. But 98% of it was because James is going to have this core memory of being backstage at this thing. That's what made me like it. I wouldn't have missed that. Like, if there was something else even slightly interesting going on, I wouldn't do something like that by myself. And as it relates to sort of the Shane thing, like, I remember I was with the Impractical Jokers and we were raping children. No. We were at we went to go see Sebastian Maniscalco in Vegas. Sal invited me, and then we went to like an after party at like a club. And we were in Derek, it was Derek Jeter's after party, and we were in a booth like a little, you know, squared off area. Like you could still see everyone else in the club, but it was like roped off just for Derek Jeter and other like baseball players and
hey,
celebrities.
Mr. Jeter, you guys think you're going back to the Super Bowl this year?
But it was uncomfortable for me. Like I was like, I don't want to talk to these guys at all. There's this weird, like,
this is bullshit. I mean, I guess I'll smell your finger on the way out.
Social anxiety, maybe, is the way to put it.
Yes.
And it's different than, like, look, what we do at Skankfest, it's like the fans get to like party with us. It's not like they're coming to like a meet and greet and in a roped off area where they're like, it is just it's a little bit of a different thing. And I think that those, because I was in Derek Jeter was, I'm not like a fan of his. Maybe if I grew up watching baseball,
I also, feel like a bit of a fucking clunk. Listen,
you look like a clunk.
To your thing, Lewis, when I did the Shane in Philly, right? Mm-hmm. The Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, that's where I'm doing this weekend.
A bunch of nice. Are you doing the Wells Fargo Center? And
I'd have Big J tweet out my fucking Philly weekend because the numbers are so horrific.
Whatchamacallit? You're doing Punchline, right?
I'm doing Punchline, yeah, which is a 450 seater.
It's so funny. Helium smaller.
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit? With Shane, when we did the Philly, the Wells Fargo Center, two of the Phillies and a bunch of the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles were there. After the show,
Shane's so rich that he has bald eagles in his backstage area.
After the show, Jalix Hunt, which I'll remember this because I love the Eagles so much. Jalix Hunt came up to me. And was like two or three of the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, came up to me and were like, dude, really funny stuff. Great stuff, man. Before the show and after the show, when they didn't come up to me at all, I didn't go over any of them. And again, it's social anxiety. I really don't know what to do. You know, you can ingratiate yourself. But the ones that came and talked to me, I'm super excited for that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to meet them because I am such a fan. But it's like, same thing. It's like, I don't want to go be like some guy. I'm just some guy back there going like, hey, it's really great to meet you. I'm a big fan of you. It feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't do it. It's just a man.
I was on the show. I was on the show and I felt
when I'm, if I was a boy, if I was a boy or a hot chick, like I would like probably be more inclined, but and this is maybe my own insecurity. I'm just a man and I'm going like, I shouldn't be excited about meeting another man. And it just makes me feel like I'm being like a fucking pussy. Now, there are people, I'm sure, in the world that if, like, you know, like, obviously Steve Jobs is dead, but like the opportunity to like have a lunch with somebody like Steve Jobs, or, you know, Dave, you say you want to introduce me to Patrick Bat David at one point. I would actually do that because I respect the way he thinks and I read his book and it's really great. And I think I could actually get something out of the interaction besides being like, ooh. Like, what is that feeling as a man?
No, I can completely relate to that. I got invited. This was years ago. And it was kind of like when he was at his peak, and I've gotten bigger in the last few years, but like, so I was smaller and he was at his, but I got invited to go see Jordan Peterson and go backstage. And I just didn't go just because it was like, I don't know. It's not like, I'd rather us just meet when it's us meeting as like for something than just go back to be like, hey, I really liked your book. Oh, I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable. It's my own thing. I'm not judging anyone else who would do that. It's just my insecurity that makes me uncomfortable.
So, Dave, I wish I could do a Jordan Peterson, but I'm like, so do you want to take your dick out now, Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Okay. You cannot take your dick out and go the rest of your life bloody making excuses why you didn't show me your dick. And then a lot of people are probably thinking, maybe I shouldn't pull out my dick. It's like, yeah, no. You pull your dick out.
I really enjoy being a fan of things, man. Definitely. I said same thing. Like,
no, me too. I enjoy Whitney, I just don't want to meet any of them.
Whitney Cummings says to me about, because I said something about Manson on Rogan, I guess. And she was like, you know, she's like, he's like a friend of mine. Like, and then even the other day, she's like, I'm going
to
go see
Whitney him. Loves to befriend rapists.
It's her favorite.
It's like her fucking thing, kind of. I mean, I respect
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, really. He just like regularly rubs elbows with rapists.
Whatchamacallit, but he you know, I'm going to go see him next month too. And it's the same thing, dude. Like, outside, maybe if like Whitney, if she saw him that, which I didn't suggest even she do at all, which I don't think she did do. But in my mind, I was like, if she saw him that night and was like, hey, when you go to New York, a friend of mine's going to see, he's a huge fan, and it said my name, and he was like, oh, I've heard of him or something. I've
heard of him.
Then
he does a lot of that crowd work. Have you ever sucked a black cock type deal?
If he set up a thing where it was like, I was like, oh, I'll get him passes and like, I'll meet him after, I would go do that. If Whitney
I'm
just
more go, of a if, fan of him than he is of me.
If Whitney was just like, I can get you tickets and backstage passes, I would say yes. And then I would not go backstage. I just wouldn't go.
I mean, maybe honestly, somebody like Marilyn Manson, who like I've been a fan of for so long, I could see myself somebody that I'm legitimately a fan of for the picture, for the, you know, but not for like the memory, but it's literally probably just for the Instagram post. That's it. Like, there's like nothing else. And I don't really care enough about it. So if anything else came up, I would just, you know, but I guess if they wanted me to meet, if Trent Reznor, if somebody had backstage passes to Nine Inch Nails and I can meet Trent Reznor, and I'm like, I'm such a fan of his fucking work for so long. I'm not saying I'm above that, but I have to be like a fucking real fan. There's just people that'll meet celebrities to meet celebrities just because they're celebrities. And that's fucking gay. Like Morris Volta or Deftones. And I'm a huge fan of Deftones, to be honest with you, but like, it would have to be like, holy shit, everyone's going backstage. Like, I guess I'll go with you guys. Like, I would just almost be rather doing anything else. I would rather fucking scroll on my phone than meet people and sort of like put, you know, what do they call it? Just try to force a fucking conversation with people that don't really want to talk to me.
And Lewis, the other thing I want to talk about was that possibly, because I don't know if you know this like correlation here.
Hmm.
But we have an old friend, the three of us,
okay,
who recently just had a thing happen at a comedy club. You recall, I got the phone call when we were doing Dojo comedy.
Yes.
The whole thing happened there. And we know the comedian who the person we know heckled.
Of course.
And on the Thing Is podcast, I said it to Alex, Mike Figgs.
Oh, that's why you. That's why you.
He tells the story,
not knowing that we're friends with him,
not knowing who it is at all or anything. It's just, and it's his. I mean, it is. He's shell shocked.
That's so fucking funny,
dude. Well, so are we going to play this on the podcast?
We should.
Well, so we can say this because we don't got to give names, like, right? So,
there's no names to give because
of course
no one knows. No, I'm saying, but also no one knows. Like, Figgs doesn't know who it was. Alex, yeah, G Mike said 2:25 in.
That's how shell-shocked he was. The intro ended. He was like, I got to talk about this.
I mean, yeah.
That's crazy that it comes up so quick. Because we all know from podcasting, if you get into a story by 2:25, like, that means story was like really on your mind. Like, it was the first thing that you're thinking of is like, this is crazy. I got to tell this story.
We had Figgs on the final Lewis and Zach today. It was very touching.
Figgs really does look like a painting of Figgs.
Yeah.
Figgs rules. Figgs is very funny.
Yeah.
Just over here, depressed, working. And I had my first real heckler last night, which was wild.
Already that it starts off with my first real heckler is a person that we are all friends with that worked in the industry.
Look, how soft has comedy gotten? How is it possible that this is his first heckler? How long has Figgs been doing stand-up for?
I'm not saying I'm sure this isn't his first heckler, a person who's spoken in the audience ever. This, when you hear what he tells you the guy did.
All right. Yeah, but still, like, don't you feel like, Jay, if to say your first real heckler, I
started off in dangerous comedy clubs, though.
Yeah, but I didn't really, but I had so many hecklers. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, this is not, here's what he's saying. I believe why he means, why this stands out to him more than what thing. This isn't even a person like, you're not funny, you're blah, 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 or just like the basic, like, you know, something shitty from
the audience. A whole thing. It's someone offended.
The other side of it is that Figs can handle him. He's very talented on stage. He's very quick. So yeah. My assumption is Figs has had real hecklers, but he just handles it, shuts it down pretty quickly. And also, like, comedy clubs sort of understand how to handle hecklers as well to these days. So back in the day, we were doing some real shit shows that, like, you know, LOL, like, that's like, that was like every night you're dealing with a person that was like angry that they were lied to. And they were like, I'm going to ruin everybody's time because I was just ripped off by a black person in Times Square.
Your first real heckler was your first show at LOL.
Yeah.
You were going to find a real heckler.
50% of the shows, you were going to get dangerously heckled by people that were going to try to attack you. It was such a high percentage of the shows.
You guys had a lobby fight there.
We had a lobby fight there when Dan Shackey hit in the bathroom and wouldn't help us.
Dave Temple, didn't Dave Temple break his hand or something?
Yeah, it was nuts. That was the lowest time of comedy. Like, there was no upside, or there's nothing good about that time in comedy. And this person that we're friends with was involved with that operation.
That's right.
he's the reason we were in there.
Yeah.
I forgot. God, but
some guy who evidently is part of the some sort of circle in that area where the stand is, I guess, or I have no idea. But I'm opening the 8 o'clock show, sold out, and I'm up there hacking it up, fucking, how you doing? Bop, 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 having fun, grabbing my balls. I give myself like a 6.5 out of 10. It wasn't my best set. It wasn't my worst set. It was just kind of like in the middle. It was warming people up. People were getting sat. It was a little chaotic. People were getting sat, like, during set, or whatever. So it was just kind of like I'm up there crowd working, whatever. All of a sudden, I start to get into like my little closing bit that I've been working on. And it's basically about how I'm gay in the shower. And I start off by saying I'm a straight guy, but I go fully gay in the shower.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I hear boo. Boo, boo. And I go, what's the problem? I go, guy in the back, little black beret, big beard, like Duck Dynasty, right? And every, like, all black, big gray beard.
Pause it. A little black beret.
He just described our friend. that rules.
Oh man,
I'm actually 50-50 on both their sides, right? I haven't decided who I like more in this story, Figs or her friend.
I can tell you who in the story was funnier.
Who was more prepared for the interaction?
I can tell you who was more ready for this back and forth.
Black beret, big beard. like Duck Dynasty, right?
Does Shannon know who this is?
All black, big gray beard.
Pause it.
He's a bigger guy?
He looked like a big guy. He was definitely a chunky chew. He was definitely a fatty.
What it is, back it up a little bit. What it is Shannon definitely knows who he is. She doesn't know that he's describing him.
I know, but I'm saying, does Shannon know who he is in life?
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely at the get-togethers.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you're right.
Definitely, 100%.
And all black, big gray beard.
But he's a bigger guy?
He looked like a big guy. He was definitely a chunky chew. He was definitely a fatty boom batty.
Okay.
And he's back there, and he's like, boo. He's like, come on, really, dude? You're gay? You're going to say that you're gay? Like, you know, it's gay.
Because you're so masculine, you couldn't possibly be gay?
He's going to say that. Is that the point? As I rethink it, there's so many things I wish I said. So, because I've never offended. Like, I've dealt with people who are drunk, but I've never dealt with a guy that was offended by my fucking hacky comedy. So I go, dude, are you serious? I go, do
nothing else. Figs is self-aware.
I go, please. I go, let me finish this, and I promise that you will be on my side at the end. Like, I'm not. This is not offensive. And he goes, oh, I bet you'd be on my side at the end. This is not offensive,
dude. That is such a spot-on impression. I mean, that is exactly what he did. I know for a fact. I'm going to be on your side at the end.
The biggest, I was like, malfunction. I didn't know. I was like, really, dude? Really?
That's it.
That's all I had. So then I just panic. And I go, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's how you get kicked out of a comedy show. I go, you get the fuck out of here. And the crowd lights up. And they're like, yeah, fuck this guy. Yeah. They're on my side. And the security guy goes up to him and goes, hey. That's a warning.
No.
I'm looking at people. I give this guy five.
Like, when they cut your balls off like that, it's like you told them to kick out. At that point, the security guard has to just kick him out.
You have to kick them out.
Yeah, you have to.
I've had that happen a few times before, and I'm never like Figs in this. And I'm not saying he's wrong for doing it. From what he's told, that's legitimate enough if the comic wants to kick him out. But I've never been that quick to kick anybody out. Like, you got to really, really cross the line before I'd be like, this person has to go. And I've had that happen a couple times where that person has really crossed the line. And then I go, and then you kind of say it with just the confidence that you have the ability to do it. You're like, all right, well, nice try. That's it. Now you got to go. And then having security be like, nah, he's cool. Don't worry. And
you're
like,
this morning, oh. You get two more.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Dude. I mean, also, it's like, look, I understand, like, you know, I understand why Figs would kick him out in that moment, right? So he's not even like getting, he's not even trying to get him back. Like, he's literally going la 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 and fucking, you know, essentially,
yeah.
Like, there's no getting that thing. If you're just being loud and disruptive and drunk, and you're now just, you know, you're not even able to be got because you're either too drunk or too fucking retarded to be gotten. It's like, well, get him out of here. Like, I'm not gonna waste my time. You know, it's also fuck that, dude. To everyone else in the crowd, it's fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
it's
yeah, like, no,
I don't
think you're the first. He's opening the show. You're like, you're already a problem now. It's 8:05 or whatever it is. It's like, we got an hour and a half of show left. I get it's reasonable.
I'm like talking while people are cheering. I'm like, what's wrong with this fucking guy? I'm like, is it the Ozempic that I'm on? Like, I'm just, you know, whatever. And then I look back and he said, I go, oh, I go, what happened? They go, we gave him a warning. I was like, all right, that's a warning, sir. So now I go into this bit, and it was, and I barely executed it. Like, I had all these new parts, and I've been doing it with so much energy, and I was like, I can't do it. Like, he took the life out of me. As I'm doing the bit, every part of the bit that's gay, I gate it up a little bit more, and then I watch him, and he stands up, grabs a cane, and starts walking out. And so I call attention to it. And that's probably the biggest laugh I got of it. I'm like, this fucking guy, I just walked this fucking guy, like, whatever. And then he starts yelling. He called me a to the bartender, to the busboy, little fucking Manuel is holding water.
Did you?
He goes, no, no. I said, I'm gay in the shower. That's all I said. That's the only time I said gay. And so I was like, oh, this guy is fucking crazy. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yep.
And whatever.
You don't know the half of it.
Off stage, like, I just land a plane, barely land the fucking plane, Delta plane, flips over, but nobody dies. And bring the first comic on stage. I get off and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, that guy's running around saying you called him a fat. And I was like, you guys saw me. I'm not going to open a show saying, I'm like, that's not my style.
With this show, though.
Guys, make sure you use promo code TTI
if you want to hear all of them, because they
kilo.
Be on YouTube.
So he goes, so that was like my first thing. And then everybody was like, no, this guy's crazy. Like, the guy's crazy. Like, we know you didn't say anything. Like, we were watching. Like, you know, we caught the end of it. Sorry that we didn't kick him out right away. We should have kicked him out.
Oh, Fake should have fucking. Oh, God, we need to get this video. Crazy. They, like, they tape all the sets.
Guy.
They tape all the sets so we can get this video if we want.
Dude, that's so funny. He called me a fat faggot.
That's fucking hilarious.
I mean, what a goddamn loop. Well, that was great. I'm glad we got to watch that. What's this, the Corinne thing you said? Christine is currently donating $1,000 so we can make fun of it.
I'm pissed.
Why?
I would love that $1,000. I'll run for mayor if you'll donate $1,000.
All right, but then we get to make fun of you.
Okay. Christina Hutch sent a thing to me and Bobby saying, if we're going to make fun of it, we have to donate $100, which was playful in its own way. And I said, I'm going to donate $1,000 and make fun of it.
Because I'm going to make fun of it 10 times as much as you think.
I'm going to make fun of it. Yeah, I'm going to make fun of it the entire
time. I will not be donating because I'd like to stand on principle here that I don't have to donate money to make fun of something.
You sure don't.
To make fun of it.
You are absolutely allowed to. I will say this also, though, too, with everything. Vote Corinne Fisher. I would love to know the mayor of New York. That'd be great. Have the mayor be a friend. That'd be fantastic.
Does it help us in any way?
I'm not going to take it that far.
Free parking?
I think it would be very nice to be friends with the fucking mayor of New York City. But
I don't think it would do anything for us. In fact, I think she would separate herself from knowing you even more because you're problematic.
What?
Yeah, well, come on, Jay. Can't have your baggage,
Gracie.
None of us are residents of New York.
Beast Games has been ghosting me now. I think they figured out who I was. They were so into me. The interview was great. I sent them a fucking great video afterwards. They were like, this is great. Get us your doctor stuff. And I was like, so, hey, where do I send this doctor stuff? And they haven't gotten back to me.
That's hilarious.
Damn it. This close to $15 million.
Nah, you really were. 15
this year?
15 this year. Maybe it's because I keep on giving information that is supposed to be. I think I signed a paper saying I wouldn't give any of this information out.
15. That's five more than last year, and it was only supposed to be five.
I know. Imagine that, dude. I would have fucking just dipped out. Dude. Fucking $500,000. That's all I wanted. I just wanted $500.
But yeah, to get to the. Yeah, no, I think there'd be. Listen, it might do absolutely nothing for us, but wouldn't it also just be kind of funny to know the mayor of New York City?
Not more like I mean this, I would rather New York City be in a better position and not know the mayor.
Oh, sure. But
I love Corinne. I'm friends with Corinne, but she's a retard. She's not like any more capable as a politician than any of us. Sorry, Dave. Dave's actually probably capable as a politician, but
I don't know about that.
You or I, Jay, I would have more faith that you would do the right thing than her.
I don't know if Dave's probably out of the three of us for sure most qualified, but I think Dave would almost, when you say Dave, that's
qualified more like saying, to be a mayor. No, not but I'm at
saying,
all.
Is that more saying that like Stephen A. Smith is qualified to be a point guard in the NBA kind of. You know what I mean? It's like you're.
It's like, right. As much as he's not. Yeah. No, I'm not at all qualified. Yes, that's actually a very good comparison. Yes. So I'm 0%. Stephen A. Smith is no more qualified than someone who doesn't know about sports to actually do it. But I guess maybe that's not exactly right. It does make you a little bit less qualified to have no idea what the fuck you're even talking about. So, like, not exactly the same, but also I'm not qualified at all.
Let's see, a mayor oversees the city's daily operations, ensuring public services like fire, police, and sanitation run smoothly. Seems to be like a manager. I might be the most qualified out of everybody. Dave, they work with this.
By the analogy also is that Stephen A. Smith, though, is more qualified to be a basketball player than a retarded person.
Yes, right.
So he's also not qualified to be a basketball player, but he is more qualified than a retarded person. But because he's Stephen A. Smith doesn't mean he's good at basketball.
They work with the city council to implement policies, manage the city's budget, and address community concerns. Additionally, mayors represent the city at official events and serve as a key point of communication between residents and the local government. You have to be like a fucking manager of sorts. You have to be able to, you know, have multitask. You have to be able to look at budgets and figure out what, you know, the ins and outs of those things. Not just a chick who's like, yeah, so I fucked a guy once, and then he also fucked my best friend. Let's talk about it for 2 hours.
anyway, alternate side of the street parking suspended until whenever.
I mean, I'm not being a dick right now. It would be like if somebody said, like, oh yeah, like Big J and Lewis, they're like, it would be like, you know, just us fucking, how many N-words can we get into a city council meeting? Like, we don't have the experience that's necessary to do that job by being comedians and podcasters at all.
No, I think the fact that you've run several businesses would be the best, like,
yes,
you know, type of like almost, you know, which isn't really exactly experience for that, but it's kind of like experience for that.
Well, it's why the thing about like the whole Trump thing is like, no, like I read Art of the Deal. And when I look at like how he makes deals, I was like, oh shit. Like if he just implemented the strategies in that book to like, you know, communicating with other countries, making deals work.
I think he's trying. We'll
to a
see.
Certain degree, he is. But the problem is he's fucking also, he's a troll and leans into that.
Well, that was also part of the, no, it'd be like in the same way that you went, okay, Stephen A. Smith just being an NBA point guard is ridiculous, right? But like, you're like, I guess it's better than someone who literally doesn't even understand how basketball right. works, like doesn't even yeah. know what a point guard is expected to do. And then imagine there was somebody who didn't even understand how basketball works, didn't know what a point guard was expected to do, but just went, I think WNBA players should get just as much money as NBA players. And they're like, all right, throw her in
there. More fucking ready to be a point guard in the NBA than the mayor of New York.
I'll support him for that.
They remind me of balls that I've sucked on.
Now, that is what I'm saying. That's why I'm wondering, with her feeling that there's probably no chance at all possible to win this, Is this like just a money play for like hoping that she gets far enough to make some kind of like noise that like, and then it can be like she was discriminated against or some kind of shit like that?
I don't even know. I mean, is it?
I don't know what the end game of this is. The effort she's putting into it, I don't understand what the end game is.
I don't think it would fucking raise her profile enough in the way that it would like help in any way. Like if I got on Beast Games, would it raise my profile as a comedian? No, I wanted to do it just because my son would think it's really cool. That's the only reason why I was like even at all slightly into the idea, because I don't think I'd win. I think I'd probably be one of the people that was cut very quickly because I would make some stupid decisions. But I think James would fucking get a real kick out of watching me on Beast Games, you know?
Sure.
I guess if I got really far and then they canceled me for being a comedian that says the N-word, then I guess it could maybe raise my profile in like the canceled comedian world. But is that like, I don't even know if that's like a viable.
No. It's not things like that. Look, I don't think, I'm not sure if road rules or whatever helped Theo or Christina necessarily.
No, but they did that before they were comedians. It's almost like they got exposed to entertainment and like the industry. And then they were like, how do I stay in entertainment? And comedy was just sort of the way to do it because there's no barrier of entry. And they probably in the beginning, it probably helped them sell some tickets when, you know, before they were even ready to sell some tickets. But now there's nothing. They're bigger than road rules, both of them.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a question that they're bigger, but I think Jay's point is just like, it's not even like that is one of the things that like contributed to them being bigger. It's just a neat fact after the fact, like to be like, oh, this person who got big off of a completely different thing also happened to do road rules way back in the day. Like, it's not like that was a stepping stone for them.
Well, who was the guy, David, who was on Real World and he was
David Edwards.
But does he even still work anymore?
Look up David Edwards. See where David Edwards is, man. He was crazy though. He was like a problematic, like,
well, didn't he tear the girl's like blanket off her body and get kicked off for that?
That again, I'll always go maybe. And again, I'd be curious to see that again. It was a different time.
We used to defend it. We're like, he's playing.
I still kind of feel like that. The energy of that was not fucking rapey or fucking.
I don't remember this at all.
Well, she got upset. If she just didn't get upset.
She didn't get upset then.
She would have been cool.
She got upset later.
Yeah.
That's what was weird about it. At the time, it looked like everyone was like fucking laughing and fucking playing. And, you know, well, listen, I'm not saying he didn't go too far. But also, the guy happens to be a certifiable lunatic. I mean, this guy, listen, you want to hear someone's crazy? This guy crashed on Kurt's couch for 3 months.
That's crazy.
On Kurt's couch.
That's a tough situation.
Do we have anything information on David Edwards, comedian?
Yeah, I don't remember if
he was in Half Baked. He was in House Party 3.
Oh, that's right. He was like, you think you have a soak dick for coke, right?
Yeah,
that was him. Yeah,
boo this man.
Yeah,
I remember that scene.
Well, I mean, he just got Road Rules or Real World was a thing that, but it's almost like, did he parlay that into like headlining dates and all that stuff?
No, because I said he came off of that. No,
can we find the clip of what he did? Disgraced. Can we find the clip of him ripping the blanket or whatever he did?
Oh, for sure.
It was a black chick, Tammy, right?
Tammy, yeah. She ended up going on to be like an NBA wife. She married Kenny Anderson.
Good for her.
Oh, that's a good one. He's got New Jersey Nets.
When you understand how child support works. I completely get why women get pregnant by NBA players. Like, what the fuck? It's seven in certain. I don't know what it is. I know in New York or maybe New Jersey. In New Jersey, it's 17% of the difference of what you make. So it's like they make $10 million a year, and she's like, "Why
you make $7,000
a year?" It's like it's 17% of the difference. That is if you're a stupid bitch that's hot, that's the A plan. How are you not just going and doing that and getting pregnant by rich people all the fucking time? What a brilliant way to be. I respect it. I don't even hate on it. I think that is a smart strategy for a fucking hot dumb chick.
It's so gross,
dude. The chick who's like out there because she got Elon Musk's baby or whatever. It's so funny to do it for Elon Musk, who's the richest man ever, and also just does this, like just has babies with random chicks. So he's just, you automatically just get on the Elon Musk plan. Like it's ever, you remember, Jay, the episode where when Chris becomes Quagmire's secretary And it's just like, as you come out of Quagmire fucking him, he's like, thanks for coming. Here's a goodie bag. We'll schedule you for another appointment after this. Put your panties in the bowl for a free taco or whatever. And like, they just, it's Elon Musk just has like a package waiting. It's like, here's $10 million, all the Dr. Seuss books, and a private school that your kid can go to. And you're on your way now.
You have the blanket pulling thing? Yeah, bring it up.
Really cannot remember. Oh, it started out as a joke.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Pause it real quick. By the way, that country western guy is the originator of the, what everybody remembers about the Real World theme. He goes, this is the true story. It's
true story. Yeah, I do remember this now.
No, it started out as a joke.
Oh, is she trying to protect her?
Are you crazy?
Toy?
She was just like, Beth, dude.
He's pulling way too hard. Like, he's being too aggressive with it for how hard she's fighting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that reminds me of when those strippers pulled out your dick, Jay. That was the same energy.
No. Jay was not. No. Let me tell you something. The difference there, Jay was raped. This girl was not.
Jay wasn't having as much fun.
Jay was not having this much fun. Jay was going seriously. Jay was being so sad. Jay was giving the real moment where you go, no. Okay. No, seriously.
And like, he didn't have a single Beth in that party that was trying to help him.
Not one Beth.
We were supposed to be his Beth. Lewis, we were supposed to be the Beth in that situation. I'm sorry, dude. You know, Jay, it wasn't until all these years later I saw Beth that I realized we were supposed to be
until we saw Beth being Beth. We were like, wait a minute, we were supposed to be Beths there.
Oh, shit, dude, we could have made that not happen.
By the way, side note, as we're talking about it, Texas has a $2,760 per month cap on child support, and that's what he gives Grimes. Elon Musk gives Grimes for their children. Isn't that fucked up?
Grimes? Who's Grimes?
It's she's got
that's one of his baby mamas.
Yeah, one of his baby mamas. She's like a pop singer or something.
Oh, so just because she lives in Texas? If she lived in any other state?
Because he lives in Texas.
What is he getting? How much is it?
$2,760 per month. Imagine you fucking let that giant cretin come inside of you, and that's all you can get out of it.
Buddy, that is literally $200 less than I gave Carla for many, many years.
And that's about what I give Beatrice, me personally, right now.
Many, many broke years. That's what I give. That's crazy. Wow. That is a nutty number. Let me forget, Kelly, what we were talking about.
We're talking about David pulling the sheets off this girl.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely being like too... the fact he's pulling that blanket so fucking hard, he's really trying to get her like in her underwear. It's pretty bizarre. But like, again, go back to it. You see when he gets it off, though, they're all laughing.
She's giggling and she's looking all tight on the floor. Beth is dressed like a fucking old man in this fucking...
She was just like, Beth.
Keep it going. Keep playing. I want to see what Beth says.
Do not move. Stay on top of me. Do not move. So I'm just like trying to cover her up.
But she does seem to be laughing a lot.
Are they all just drunk?
I'm sure. I mean, that was the idea.
Oh, he does it again. He goes back. Alex, let us tell you to stop. When we tell you to stop.
You're disgusting. Woo!
Everyone's laughing.
Tammy, okay? I'm gonna bring you something right now. Hold on.
When she was laying there on the floor, she didn't, you know, she didn't have time to think about all that. But when she's in the bathroom trying to find something to put on, I think she really had time to think about how much it bothered her.
Why? She just started getting really upset, and then when she was finally in her room, it was just really bad.
Pause it. So, I mean, here's the truth, like. She was giggling and laughing in the moment. you know, but she also does have a right to take a moment and think and process it. They're all drunk, right? She's probably drunk. I don't know if she's actually drunk in this.
She also is realizing that this is on national television. You know what I mean? It's not like just a thing that just happened. It's like,
well, yeah, I understand. I get it.
Have to be.
I get it. I mean, I would. I kind of understand why she was upset. I don't think she's like faking it. And like,
I fully understand why she's upset. I don't think she's faking it either. I'm just saying, like, if it makes sense, like, the condemnation of it was like too much, like to be that water, like that should have been a conversation, like, hey, because he could have been like, there's no opportunity for him to be like, oh shit, like you were laughing your ass off. I thought we were all,
yeah.
I give him an opportunity to be like, holy shit, I'm really sorry. I didn't think that was
right. This is just something that, like, if it wasn't on TV and it was just a bunch of friends, like you would almost be like, just sort of a conversation about like fucking boundaries or whatever.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's weird. Like, I remember, I do feel, as I'm older, I feel different about it now than I felt about it then. At the time, I was like,
As I get older, I'm more just like, you're like, that's why young boys and girls can't be getting drunk together. You know what I mean? Like, because
they shouldn't put four guys and four girls from different parts of the world in the same house together.
Yeah, we just found out what happens when things start getting real and they start getting rapey, evidently. But it is a thing where, in a weird way, you're almost like, if you're gonna be in that type of situation, then you have to like tell young girls, it's like, hey, you got to be kind of firm about your boundaries. So you have to have a moment there where you're firm, like, dude.
Hell yeah.
you have to have a moment there where you're like, hey, stop. Hey, I'm not playing around. Stop. But then I think a lot of times girls are uncomfortable doing that, because like, if they do that and he doesn't stop, then it's like even way creepier and weirder. So it's like, so you have to be firm and be like, hey, seriously, I'm not kidding. Stop. And I hope you're not a rapist.
Yeah.
It's not a great formula.
Yeah. The whole thing is like, you know, once again, it is kind of like, if that wasn't on TV, it would almost be like, just like a fucking car, like you're a dick. Like, what the fuck? Why are you being an asshole? Is it a crime? No. I mean, she, like, once again, she is giggling and laughing. No, through like laughter is like when I tickle a chick, right? Or my son, for that matter. When I tickle my son, he's literally going no and giggling. But yeah, it's like, what is, like, you know, where's the line there? Is it like,
are you raping your boy?
Hold on, guys.
Oh my God.
She goes, rape. I'll get there. Everybody rape, the ultimate tickle.
Rape me, Elmo.
Isn't rape just the ultimate tickle when you think about it?
I mean, but tickling, like, every time I've been tickled, I'm like, no, and I fucking,
oh, I hate it. I think I'm gonna pee. But that is no, for sure. I understand her being mad and everything. I just said, like, the thing on him, like, it was just that. It was like they're treating it like sexual assault. And like, I hear what they're saying. Again, if it was that big of a deal, she wouldn't have had it on the show, probably. I mean, she was wearing essentially.
Well, I think she didn't. They don't have any say as to what goes on the show.
It's true. I guess they sign off, right?
Yeah, they sign off on everything. So the MTV is going, great dramatic moment. She's upset. Like, what is
really
the?
Funny. It was really what funny. Beth eventually showed her snatch in Playboy.
Sick. Can we see Beth snatch in Playboy right quick, just for a second? No,
the girls of the real world.
I didn't know they did the Girls of the Real World in Playboy. That's pretty hot.
Yeah, years ago when I had a subscription still.
Sick. What year was that?
Late, I mean, 90s. It was like the late, mid-90s.
Alex, tell us the year as well.
Oh, the year of season two, Real World?
Yeah, 95?
That was like 90. That might have been like 93 or something.
Was it that early? Was Real World that early?
I thought it was a little later. I would have guessed 95.
Maybe
96.
A little bit later. I started comedy though in, like I said, 97 or so. And
wow, Jay's World, right, 93.
Yeah. 93 wow. Is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was before I graduated high school. I had a feeling.
Girls just don't know how to look up fucking nudes. God, you're fucking such a woman. Jesus Christ.
Just look, Alex, up Beth Real World News.
Beth Real World News, you fucking idiot. It's like, I'm sorry, Alex. Maybe you shouldn't have
look up images. Just click images.
Safe search off images. Come on, Alex.
There. Finally, Beth Snatch. I don't think that's Beth, though.
Find Beth.
That's one of these pictures.
Make her big. Making me big right now, Beth. Is that Beth?
That's not Beth either.
Fucking toy. That's Beth Williams.
Nope. Keep going.
Is that her?
Nope.
Jay will remember when he sees it.
Yeah, well, now I'm wondering if maybe Beth didn't get naked in Playboy. Maybe Jay, she wasn't one of the ones.
Jay, maybe you don't fucking get my hopes up. For
the girls of the real world. Wait, go to that initial picture, that phone in there. Let me make that bigger. No, Beth's definitely in there. That's Beth right there. The first picture to the right.
Nice.
To the right of that.
Sick.
No. Go to the picture you have clicked on to the all to
the right. The second picture. Right. Second picture. Row sure. One. Second picture.
Yeah.
Make it bigger than that. Beth.
Christ.
We're taking away those together.
Or you know what? You give it and take it away. I'm sorry, Alex. I didn't mean to.
Women suck at showing nudes.
Oh, dude, this is me yelling at Christina the Bonfire every week.
Zoom in now. There we go. Sick.
Beth, snatch.
Beth, snatch. We did it.
We did it, everyone. Beth, stupid snatch.
Beth's obviously airbrushed tits.
Her airbrushed titty nipples and her fucking weird dark box.
Let's do some plugs, kids.
Sure. And then do you want to watch this Corinne thing you said?
Yeah, please. We got so distracted with Beth Snatch, we never watched the Corinne thing.
It's true. I'll do quick. BigJComedy.com for all my dates or punchup.live/BigJOkerson. I'm all over the road, everybody, going through till pretty much till the middle of summer, and then after summer, right back to a crazy fucking schedule. So look for me in a city near you. Some fun ones coming up. Tulsa, Oklahoma, blah, 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 blah. You'll see it. You'll see it on the website. Check out them. First half of my double crowd work special available right now on YouTube. Second half they coming out 4/20. So look out for that. Listen to The Bonfire. And, of course, Story Wars right here on Gas Dig.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Dave?
I got this Sunday, or coming up in a couple days, April 6th, one night only, I'll be at Zany's. I believe there are still a few tickets left for that, but it's gonna sell out, so grab those quick if you want to come. And then April 17th, 18th, 19th, I'm doing one of my favorite runs in the country, which is the Zany's in Chicago and Rosemont. Then back at the American Comedy Company, another great club in San Diego out there. Then I got Appleton, Wisconsin, Salt Lake City, Cleveland, Providence, Rhode Island, Tacoma, Spokane, Detroit, Tampa, Florida, comicdavesmith.com for all those ticket links, and partoftheproblem.com for my other podcast.
Very cool. Come see me on the road, guys. The Bring Five Friends Tour. This is coming up tonight. So this weekend I'm in Philly. If you guys are in Philly, Saturday night, just two more shows. We have this week coming up, we have Nashville. We're doing Zany's Comedy Club, some Story Wars. We're doing a Depraved show on Tuesday night as well, which should be a ton of fun. Then next weekend I'm at Wits End Comedy Lounge, North Charleston, South Carolina. Excited about that. End of the month, San Diego. Then I got Houston, Texas coming up, Fort Collins, Colorado, Fort Myers, Florida. Me and Scott Chaplin going to Europe. We're doing Amsterdam, Glasgow, Dublin, Manchester, and London, and a lot more. Boston right after that. This is all leading up to my next taping of my next special, which is tentatively titled Luis J. Gomez Praised by Wolves. Going to be taping on July 12th.
Ooh, I like that.
Thank you.
It's a good title.
Tampa, Florida, Side Splitters. Bobby Kelly's going to be directing it. Zach Amico opening for me the whole weekend. So come out, guys. Get those tickets for Tampa as well. And make sure you get your Skankfest tickets on May 2nd. May 2nd, baby boys. We're very close to that time when tickets go on sale. New Orleans, it's happening November 14th or 16th. Do not miss out on the biggest comedy event of the year. The lineup is absolutely bonkers. A lot of people coming for the first time. A lot of people returning. It's going to be a goddamn blast in New Orleans.
I gave it a nice plug ski on Rogan.
Thank you. I appreciate that, David.
Buddy, you're also, I got to give you credit where credit's due. You're so good at naming things. I don't know if you want to say, but you have a project I know that you're working on that Christine was telling me the title of. I don't know how I didn't know the title of it already, but it's a great title.
What's the project?
Well, you can cut it. Is anyone on StreamYard with us? I was going to say, are you saying that you're putting out a book?
Oh, thanks. I told people I'm putting out a book.
Okay. Great title.
Yeah, Knives and Spoons. Thanks. Appreciate it, brother. Get all that stuff. All this stuff it's all happening, guys. So grab tickets and all that other stuff and the book.
I think it's funny the way it goes. At one point I was even doing, I think when the discussion was happening, I was even going like, why the fuck is Lewis writing a book? Like, is he really need to write a book? And then Christine was like, yeah, it's I think Lewis has a story to tell. And she said the name, and I was like, damn, that's fantastic. Name for you should write a book based solely off you have the best title.
Yeah, it's about just my childhood. It's starting off with my dad being murdered and then ending with my mom dying and me starting comedy. You guys are both in it. You guys are toward the end of the book. Meeting both of you guys is a big, important part of my life. So,
I've always thought it was a great idea for you to do that. The more Lewis runs down all the things he's doing, the crazier I think it is that he just quit Real Ass Podcast.
Yeah, I did. It was our last show today. It was very emotional. I cried like a baby bitch. I'll send
you. Did you cry on it?
Oh yeah, like a fucking.
I'm sure though. In a way, that's a big
11 years.
Like, I don't think any of us, and like Jay walking away from SDR, it's just not kind of the same thing. It's like that's closer to like the last Legion of Skanks or me doing like the last part of the problem or you doing the last bonfire. Like SDR, nothing against SDR. It just was never quite
10 years though still.
Yeah, I guess you did it for a long time. I just think it was, you'd agree with me, Jay. It'd be a much more like of a big thing if you were doing the last Legion of Skanks podcast. That would just be like,
Christ, yeah.
You know, like, I think this was much closer to that for Lewis.
This is also, like, the show that was, like, my voice. And, it's a different
thing. We're going to get him to cry again.
Most of the other shit I do is, like, ensemble. And, like, you know, that was, like, so even now I'm, like, itching.
I was saying goodbye to my voice. Bye, voice. Bye, Lewis. Bye, Lewis. I'll miss you. I'll miss your voice. Good night, sweet voice.
But yeah, I'm happy to free up some time.
I remember literally having thin. We were just on the phone talking about this while you were like kind of making the decision or leaning in that direction, and just you going over what your schedule was.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's fucking insane that you were commuting in twice a day to the city. Is that's bananas, dude.
It's a lot. It was the amount of time that I was spending in the car and traffic, just fucking really stretched thin. And then the summer's coming up, and I was like, I was talking to James about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about quitting the show. I was like, we could have like Monday through Wednesday, just during the day, like having those days with him in the pool and hanging out and just doing shit.
No,
I get a few hours a week to hang with James right now because I'm touring a lot on the weekends. Well, and
like I told you, dude, I remember literally when you know, when you guys first wanted to start the Story Wars show, I remember literally just looking at my calendar, and it wasn't even like a decision. Like I decided I didn't want to do it. I was just like, I can't do that.
Sure.
Like I just can't, I cannot fit another thing in. And you have a busier schedule than me. I mean, I have two little kids, so that I guess adds a little bit, your schedule is just insane.
But you do them from at home, which is a different thing. So just the, you know, back and forth multiple times per day was a lot. I would come home, pick up James from school, spend a couple hours with him, drive back into the city.
Yeah, that's just too wild. It's maddening. Yeah.
So, it was a hard decision, but Zach Amico is going to take over the morning slot. Zach Amico's Morning Zoo, and he's going to keep on, you know, bringing young comics on and doing fucked up, you know, amazing comedy with them. And you know, it is what it is. Bittersweet. It was a fucking rough one though. We fucking just going over like, you know, the history of the show and the memories, and fucking 11 years to be hosting a show. That's a quarter of my life. I've been the host of the Real Ass Podcast, or Lewis and Zach, I mean, what iteration, but it's a big, big chunk of fucking time. We've been doing this one for nearly 14 years.
Nuts.
Jeez.
Yeah,
crazy. It is nuts. Yep.
Let's see. We Insider from our mailing list. If you guys want a bonus podcast and all that other stuff, inside information about Skankfest and Gas Digital, go to lewisofskanks.com. All right. So let's look. So we have a little time left here. Let's watch some of this Corinne Fisher video.
And what is it of?
It's her on, I think, CBS
New York. I'm gonna keep an open mind here. Maybe I'll vote for her.
Yeah, maybe she could sway us.
None of us are allowed to vote for her.
Oh, I have my ways, Jay.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's right. We're all New Jersey residents.
We could send her money.
So why do you want to be mayor?
Yeah, I want to be mayor because I'm an everyday New Yorker, and I was sitting in my apartment for the past, I don't know, 20-something years, and I'm just sick of being lied to and betrayed by the people that we vote into office. And I think people specifically at this point in time, because of people like AOC, and even I got to give Donald Trump credit, are thirsty for somebody new, somebody who's going to speak to them transparently, not use jargon that we only hear in the New York Times, and make a commitment to fight for them every single day. And that's something that I feel really confident that I can do.
Why do you? Okay, can I just pause it for a second? Oh my God. All right, I'm sorry. I swear to God, I might either have to make a rule that we don't do this anymore, or I have to be her campaign manager. One of the two has to happen here. Okay, first of all, if that's your, what a dumb canned fucking response. If your thing is you're the anti-politician, then don't give a fucking dumb scripted politician sounding line. You don't have your first thing be like, I'm just a regular person and I just want to be in there and fight for the things that the people want. That's the type of shit a politician would say. If your thing is like, I'm a regular person, we don't like all these lying politicians, then just talk like a regular fucking person. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Well, that vocal fry is brutes.
Always. It's rough.
It's because it sounds like she's being smarmy always.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also dressed like a sailor.
Sailor's wife.
One of which is that you think that there should be regular mental health checks for police officers. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the keys to safety in New York City is healing the wound that obviously exists between the NYPD and the people of New York. You know, the
How many is safety like? And look, I understand cops; they can be fucked up. I'm never defending cops.
Out of his nose.
I'm never going to defend cops, right? Because I've been fucking arrested a half dozen times, or a dozen times, really. And I think cops are fucking dickheads and they're power hungry. But the reality is, like, for the most part, police brutality isn't so much an issue in New York City anymore, right? It happens once in a while. You get a cop that's fucking a little too handsy and crazy, but safety, the safety, my concern isn't like, oh my God, a cop's going to fucking murder me or beat my ass.
Yeah,
my concern is that a homeless person is going to stab me or light me on fire. That is more of the issue.
And there's not a cop that's going to come help.
Right, exactly. No, that's a great point. But I
not that we need psych evals on every cop. Like, that's not the issue.
Yeah, we need cops to like give a fuck about being cops and do their job well.
Yeah, take that same money that you're gonna fucking put into psych evaluations and give them better training, or give the good ones raises and better salaries and give them a reason to be good at their job.
Yes.
We tried defund the police. That did not work. People said, no, I don't want to defund the police. We want the police here. So if the police are here, we need to make sure that they're taken care of. PAPA already exists where police can access mental health care. But
this outfit doesn't show off her tits well enough. That's my major problem.
They're not mentally stable.
Oh, no, I don't think that's, I don't think anyone in New York City is really mentally stable. I think it's a really hard city to live in, and we all need mental health support. And I love that you brought that up, because I think there is this stigma around it, right? So if it's also like,
I didn't know this person and I'm a New Yorker, I'm going like, well, so you're saying everyone in New York is crazy. That's a weird thing for like a mayor. Instead of like instilling this like level of pride where you're like proud to be a New Yorker, you're just saying that everyone in New York is fucked up. And I don't know. There's just,
Marsha looks like a man in a wig.
She also said something in the one of her first campaign things. She was like, you know, no one's proud to be an American. You're like, where does this come from? Like, you're not going to get anybody on your side. I almost feel like the Make America Great sort of concept, like, is a better angle on trying to get people to vote for you.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, Lewis, honestly,
Manager shaking her hoots in the ads.
Well, we kind of like talked about this thing with you, where someone, a kind of privileged white upper middle class person, said, you live in a bubble. And you're like, I live in a bubble. Okay. But this actually, to me, is what comes off as living in a bubble, where number one, you kind of have this thing like, I mean, nobody's proud to be an American. It's like, yeah, in your bubble. That's your very little bubble where no one's proud. In the broader, people love that shit. Hanging up American flags and being proud to be an American, that's actually the majority of the country. And again, another evidence of like being in a bubble is going, okay, what's your take on the police? It's like, okay, listen, we tried defund the police. Okay. That didn't work. You know, it's like, no, no, no. That was your little bubbles thing. That was the dumbest idea ever. We never tried it. Nobody implemented that.
Nobody was
ridiculous. It was dead on arrival. No one was ever going to. And then they go, okay, but we couldn't get that. So we get this. It's like, that just makes no sense. You're saying there was one retarded, it wasn't even a policy. It was a chant at protests.
Yeah.
It's like, that was never something we tried and didn't work. It's like, oh yeah, everyone laughed that out of the room. Now moving on. Because like, you're not crazy because you don't need a psych eval because you live in New York City. And most cops don't need it. Like Lewis said earlier, Jay, I think you said it's an incentives issue. What you want is cops to be incentivized to police crime and be disincentivized to be abusive.
Right.
That's the only issue. You need them to get fired when there's police brutality and charged, and then you need them to be rewarded when they actually fight crime.
Right.
That's it.
Agreed.
Continue.
Stigma around it, right? So if it's mandated for everybody, and then the stigma doesn't exist. I think especially men have a hard time saying, I need mental health support. And if it's just
first
part
of all, pause
of
it for another second.
We're never going to do this video.
No, no way.
We have two more minutes of this. This is just going to be it. Us taking apart every 2 seconds. Those, shut up, woman.
Did she not notice that the microphone is digging into her neck? Keep an eye on that. Go ahead.
Check up, a mental health checkup, then it wouldn't be so weird.
So you also want to raise money by having tourists pay a fee to come to New York. Tell me about that.
Yes, saw that. Well, it's not necessarily that we have to do that, but I think a lot of times when people present new policy, especially people on the left, it seems like this pie in the sky idea. And we say to everything, well, how are we going to pay for that? Everyone is already struggling. So I think that my first step as mayor would be looking at doing an audit, seeing what are we spending money on, what is working, what is not working, and reallocating funds. That's step one. And then step two,
That's not step one. That's not a step. You can't just go, I'm going to look at the budget. I'm going to find money. We're going to reallocate money. Okay, that's step one. That's not a step. That's not a plan. That's the most empty thing, by the way, that every single politician says. I'm going to go through the budget line by line.
Yeah. Line by line, and they're gonna find out what we don't need to be using, and then put it to things we do need to be spending it on.
No,
step one is untightening your neck microphone. How about that?
She goes, I mean, to be fair, Corinne's saying a lot of dumb shit here, but she is saying all of this with a knife to her throat. So yes. I don't know that she means any of it.
And also, I'm lobbying for smaller lapel mics
because they fucking hurt my neck.
But it's so funny to just hear microphone. Someone. Just saying politician-y sounding words. You know what I mean? Like she goes, we're going to look through the budget and then reallocate money. So you just told me you're going to take money from one place and put it in another place.
You didn't tell
me what place you're going to take it from or what place you're going to put it toward, but you just said reallocating funds because you felt like that sounds.
Look at the budgets first, Dave. You're going to the budget book and she's going to fucking open it up and fucking put her fingers through it.
Nope. Reallocated.
Sorry,
reallocated.
Page six, you're gone.
Now the newspaper goes from page five to page seven.
Good. I just want to do a couple more minutes of this. I know we got to go.
Make sure that we're not giving extra fees to New Yorkers. We're always hit with extra fees. We just got one in the congestion fee. We'll see if Donald Trump keeps that or not. But I think to give tourists the fee is the right direction. No one's going to stop coming to New York City.
How much would you charge them?
I'm talking like $5 extra when you check into a hotel, something that you don't notice. Las Vegas is a city that already does this. It's known for its destination fees. And I think New York City is one of the only cities that can claim it's as unique and magical as Las Vegas. And so people
are going to Paris or Rome, you fucking asshole. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm pissed.
Might stop visiting other cities. So I think it's something that works out for everybody.
So what would you use that money for?
Any services that need it. We talk about affordable housing we need so desperately. Getting mental health support for people who are experiencing a mental health crisis on the street. Really anything that we want to allocate it to, we can.
Oh, so she didn't have an answer ready for
tax breaks to people.
How do you have a proposal for a new tax and you don't have the answer for what it's for?
Listen, all we know right now is we're reallocating it. We have to see
Okay.
who needs it.
Glad,
So we're gonna give it. We're gonna have a slut fund. The sluttier you are, the more we're gonna fucking pay.
Yes. Okay, I'm glad you asked me that question. We're gonna have a new tax. That money is gonna go toward the slut fund. But wait a minute, reallocated. There's no money in the slut fund. I took the slut fund money. I put it toward mental health. And you probably think now we have mental health money. Now reallocated.
The March for Tits. We're all sluts, but you can't call us sluts. And now we're not sluts, and you're all rapists.
Well, it's like, if you don't want me to make fun of women, then have a thought in your head.
You bitch. No, I'm sorry. I like Corinne. I even have to preface it with,
I like Corinne like very much.
I do like Corinne.
I think Corinne's a friend.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
And nonprofit organizations.
Absolutely. That's my signature program. I'm really excited about that. I've spent
How much of a break would you give them?
I don't want to spit out numbers, but I mean, I think it would depend on the number of hours that they spend volunteering.
You just started crying blood like the Virgin Mary.
How it's helping the city, right? So everything I have that is a tax break or some kind of an incentive, I also have a way that it helps the city. So volunteering is going to help the city in general. We're like getting free workers basically, or discounted workers. I don't want to say it that way because it sounds like it's unethical.
But nonprofits do a lot of important things.
Yeah.
They deal with seniors.
Yeah.
They deal with, you know, Meals on Wheels. They do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There's also education programs.
Yeah. And I think it's also a way for New Yorkers to feel more involved in their community. When you get out and volunteer, you feel better about yourself. So it's kind of this an additional mental health care system for the city. You're contributing, and it's something that you can do with your family. A lot of people spend too much time outside of the home, where they're away from their family because they have to raise money or make money. And this is something that you can do with your family together.
That's I great. Like this chick Woo! Better.
And she's like, I'm also going to have a hot girl on a rollerblade fund.
Also, sluts on wheels.
All right, we'll continue with more of this next week. This has been fun.
Did she say there was freedom and slavery at the end there?
I think so.
I believe there was. Hachi Machi.
You just gave $1,000 to that.
I did. I'm very proud to say I'm going to have a nice in with the mayor. I'm going to have a nice in with the next mayor. For everybody, thank you so much for hanging out with us on the Friday Night Hang. And thank you for subscribing to GasDigital.com. We'll catch you next time here with the boys on Legion of Skanks. Until then, peace.
Love you guys.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.